Chapter 11. Not a Prayer.
My father was your teacher.
I sat before my brother in the commander's tent, flames dancing and popping beside him, yet doing nothing to banish the cold between us. We could hear pipes drifting on the howling wind, the rumble of thunder above the dun. Gabriel was staring at me, our eyes narrowed against the light of the flames, and the ink burning upon his hands. "We," I murmured, "Master Wulfric."
"You said your teacher was dead."
We nodded, swallowing with our ruined throat. "He is." We could see he was angered at this news, and that we did not quite understand. Gabriel had never even known the monster who'd seeded him, and Wulfric had never cared a drop about my brother's life. Why should he care how his father's ended? But still he spoke, voice crackling like the hateful flames in that fire pit beside him.
"How?" he demanded. "Why?"
"That is an even longer tale, Gabriel. I do not think..." And our voice fell silent then, and we snaked up to our feet at once, the chill in the tent grown deeper still. Gabriel tried to speak, but we hushed him with one hand, turning the fullness of our gaze to that mote of blood in the Hall of Plenty, watching as Nikita Divok beckoned poor young Mehron to his side. We witnessed that red drama play out upon that awful stage, saw the Blackheart torture those children, spilling each other's blood rather than spill their secret, and end what little hope they had left. Gabriel looked at us, hand slipping to his accursed broken blade, and as our eyes met across the crackling flames, he knew at once what was wrong.
"Dior," he breathed.
"She is discovered. All is undone, Gabriel. But he was already gone, up and off, fleeing the tent with the speed of the terrified. He roared at the top of his lungs for his flesh witch, for his heathen comrades, and we stood in the tent, watching that awful game in the Hall of Plenty play out. We watched Dior spit her defiance, sending her doomed strike toward Nikita's heart. We watched the traitor unveiled, cursing myself a fool, that I should have watched closer, that I might have seen had we not been searching so desperately for Marin's tomb. And as the traitor Isla Aquin laid Dior out with that vicious kick to her skull, we heard it then, the sound of the wind, the peal of one bright horn, joined by another, the song of pipes stirring in the storm, the roar of the moon's throne rising, the call for vengeance, the bay for blood, the hue and cry for..." A heavy thumping sounded at the door, interrupting Selene's tale. The last Liathi glanced up, brow darkening as the Marquis called, "Enter." The sound of chains and lock being unshackled was again heard beneath the river's rush, the bite of stone upon stone. The door opened wide behind Jean-Francois, burning torches cutting the dark, heat swelling at his back. Capitaine Delphine and his men strode forward again, the young thrall Dario at their head, gaze downturned as he spoke.
"The prisoner, as you requested, master."
Selene's eyes narrowed at that, a soft hiss slipping her lips as she spied the figure standing beside a bristling Melune. Long and bloody nights had passed since she'd last set eyes on him, and it surprised her, the effect the sight of him had. The gravity he exuded, the weight of his shadow, the way his very presence seemed to fill the room with fire. God, how she hated fire.
"Gabriel," she whispered.
Under the watchful eye of the thrall-sword capitaine, the last silver saint stepped forward to the water's edge, silvered heels scraping along the cold stone. She could see the stain of sleepless nights smudged under his eyes,
weariness in the set of his shoulders, those twin teardrop scars wending down his cheek. But his clothes were spotless, his jaw clean-shaven, his eyes flushed red from the pipe. He seemed quite comfortable for a prisoner, given all the trouble he'd caused his jailers. Gabriel looked at the rushing waters, smiling soft.
Underground river. Very clever. I shall be certain to inform my empress of your approval, Jean-Francois replied.
Storm-grey eyes fell on her like hammers, his hands curling into fists.
Hello, traitor, he growled.
Hello, coward, she spat.
I see they're keeping you down below, he said, eyes roaming the cell. A little closer to the place you're going to burn in the end.
Selene snaked to her feet, eyes alight.
We will see you there, bastard.
Children, please. The Marquis rolled his eyes. I did not bring the good Chevalier down here so you might trade insults.
Then why did you bring him?
Selene demanded. Jean-Francois twirled his quill between his pale fingers.
As I told you, mademoiselle, I would like to see my bed before the sun rises this day. We approach the pointed end of this blade, and since you were both present at the Battle of Megen, I thought it prudent to have you both speak upon it. It will save me the trouble of having to determine afterward which of your contradictions are lies and which are truth.
Truth? The last Silver Saint scoffed. From this snake.
I thought you said the Blood Sheston has no penchant for cruelty, Selene said. His every word is tantamount to torture.
Give me the rack and the flame. Enough, the Marquis said, looking between the pair.
This is not a request, and I grow weary of threatening you both. So let us simply say every minute the pair of you spend posturing now will cost you a night of starvation later, and be done with it.
The Marquis snapped his fingers, and one of the thrall swords brought forth another leather armchair, placing it opposite the historian's. Dario set down a new bottle of Monet on the table, a fresh goblet embossed with golden wolves beside it. The chemical globe threw long shadows upon the stone, a ghost-pale moth emerging from the gloom and battering upon the glass. Jean-Francois glowered, eyes dark with wrath.
Now, sit down, the pair of you.
The siblings remained frozen, glaring at each other across that rushing river. The air between them rippled with hatred. Gabriel's fangs unveiled, Selene's eyes narrowed to knife cuts. But finally, as one, the pair relented, backing off a pace or two, Gabriel sinking into the chair set aside for him, Selene snaking back down to the bare stone, legs folded beneath her. And with a sigh, Jean-Francois adjusted his cravat and nodded to the capitaine.
I think it best you and your men remain for this, Delphine.
The big man nodded, his eyes never left Gabriel.
I concur, Marquis.
The historian glanced to the soldiers. Back in the shadows, there's some good chaps. I believe the scent of you might be exciting our guests. Gabriel glanced to the big capitaine, blew him a kiss. Delphine scowled and nodded to his men, and the thrall swords retreated into the dark recesses of the cell. Dario backed off to stand with the soldiers, though Meline hovered at the historian's shoulder, eyes slipping every so often toward Gabriel, but the siblings stared only at one another, as if there were not another soul in that cell.
So,
Jean-Francois glanced to Gabriel,
your sister and I had arrived at the point of no return, Chevalier. Le Chance's plan to liberate Nikita and Lily's thralls had been foiled. An army of slaves faced you upon the walls of Megen. You had but three alternatives: retreat and consign the Grail to the keeping of the Forever King, wait and be crushed between the Divok anvil and the hammer of the Vos in a few days' time, or attack those walls that day. Your friend Baptiste stood upon those battlements, De Leon. Hundreds of innocents snatched at Avelaine, Quinn, Sadebe, Fass. Soldiers whose only crime was being captured rather than killed. If their masters were destroyed, they would be freed. But you could not reach their masters without carving through them. What path did you choose? They stood between me and Dior, Gabriel said softly. The historian opened a new page in his tome, smoothed down the parchment as he chuckled. They never had a prayer, did they? Gabriel leaned forward, eyes clouded. His voice was soft as smoke. There's a saying among cavalrymen in Elidane. Everyone's a priest when the arrows start flying. When all that stands between you and death is a few rings of chainmail or a couple of feet of stone, it's hard not to give yourself over to God. Everyone in battle has a prayer, Shaston. Problem is, the one they pray to seldom listens.
Everyone has a prayer except you, of course.
No.
Gabriel sighed heavy, looking skyward.
Not that day. We mustered there in the rising dawn before those mighty walls. Phoebe stood beside me, her aunt Sina before her, painting protection magics on her skin in sacred blood. All down the line, the chanting rhythm was rising, like the pulse beneath my skin, the adrenaline in my veins. As the dim sun crested the horizon, I could feel the battle awaiting beneath that black sky. All I'd done, all I'd suffered, and it all came down to this. A headlong charge into a wall of teeth and swords, to rescue a girl with a blade already at her throat. We'd an ocean of slaughter ahead, but even if we survived it, Nikita knew all this was about Dior. If the battle went ill, Martyrs only knew what he might do to her in retaliation, and there was nothing we could do to stop him. I knew it'd take a miracle for her to live through this.
The last Silver Saint shook his head.
And so I prayed for one.
You?
The historian scoffed. Pray?
We both did, sinner.
Jean-Francois and Gabriel looked to Selene as she spoke, eyes on the ceiling above.
We stood among them, my dear brother and I, side by side. The army of the Moonthrone was forming up before Mergen's walls, baying to their heathen gods as the thunder rolled. The most bestial of them stood in their vanguard, towering figures more animal than human, wolves and bears and lions, fur and fang, kilt and claw. Wizened crones stalked up and down their lines, painting crimson blasphemies upon their skins to the tune of wild pipes and rhythmic chanting. They stomped their feet in time, snarling and heaving, a sea of roaring faces and flashing eyes. Gabriel's flesh witch, don't call her that, the Silver Saint snapped. Gabriel's sorceress stood at his other side, her face daubed crimson. Bloodlust was building among the Highlanders, their spirits caught up in frenzy and idolatry and madness. And in the midst of it, I sank to our knees, and I turned our face to heaven, and closing our eyes, I prayed. The prayer on the lips of every faithful soldier as they look upon the foe, and perhaps their death. The benediction for battle. The Lord is my shield, unbreakable. He is the fire that burns away all darkness. He is the tempest rising that shall lift me unto paradise. And I opened my eyes then, because there beside me, kneeling in the snow, was my own faithless brother, voice entwined with mine. His light is my salvation. His love is my redemption.
His sword shall lay my enemies to rest. And should I face my ending, until the day of judging, I give to him the keeping of my soul.
Varys, I whispered, signing the wheel.
Varys,
Gabriel replied, hands clasped before him.
I looked at him then, the storm raging above us, the ocean raging between us. We thought you had vowed to ask nothing of heaven's sovereign brother, we said, save the chance to spit in his face before he sends you below. And he replied,
I'm not praying for me,
Gabriel said. Selene nodded, staring across that black river with eyes dark as night. He was praying for her. Jean-Francois, Marquis of the Blood Shuston, looked at Gabriel.
I take it you should have fucking known better.
The last Silver Saint sighed. The last Liathi hung her head.
He should have fucking known better.